Are you ready for the Low Bros Network?
We're on the other side of the Rise of Skywalker. For those of you who listen to our nearly 3-hour preview podcast where we ranked the Star Wars, followed a few days later by Jerry's 1-hour preview of this, safe to say we were fairly invested in this movie. We are on the other side of it now as we get kicked off here on Nash. It's Rick here. Jerry's on the line too. Thanks for joining us, Jerry. Especially like so close to Christmas, making time for this. I really appreciate it. But like I said, I as soon as I got out of the screening on Saturday morning, which was the first chance I got to see it, Jerry obviously was at the premiere on Wednesday night. As soon as I got out of the screening on Saturday morning, I thought of Jerry and I'm like, I need to talk to Jerry. And I texted you. I was just telling him before we went on there. I texted him as I was walking down the steps in the cinema going, we need to talk. Jerry thought he was getting sacked. But no, I needed to talk to him about Rise of Skywalker. And because there's a lot here. And guys, if you haven't seen it now, this is there's going to be spoilers. This is only for people who've seen it. So if you're interested in it and you haven't seen it yet, go back, because this is not the place for you. We're going to talk about all of it. We're not holding anything back. And even then, we may, like, I don't think we're going to go too deep. We may refer to The Mandalorian. There's one bit in it that I think is relevant to this movie. It's not massively spoilery towards the actual plot of The Mandalorian, but just be advised of that as well, if you're watching it. But, like, we need to parse through this. We need to get our feelings across. So, Jerry, well, we'll get into all the individual bits and we will touch on everything. I need to ask you right now, a few days out, a few days away from it, after all the build-up, after all the hype, the end of the third trilogy, how is it sitting with you now? How are you feeling?
Well, I've taken the last couple of days to reflect and think about it, and kind of you think about the other two films in it. I'm not even trying to think about, you know, the originals or the prequels. I'm just going to think about these three movies. And for me, going into it, was very excited, you know, and just everything about it, like just the hype for it and the previews and the little trailers and all coming out. I was excited, and I know a lot of people weren't. A lot of people's faith in it has been just gone. But for me, I went in and, you know, you sit down and as soon as you see Lucasfilm coming up, I will say this, I do miss the 20th Century Fox. I do miss that. Miss that. But you see Lucasfilm coming up now and you're ready and the scroll comes up, you go through it and the film just starts and you're like, okay, I kind of breathe again. I'm like, right, because you're holding your breath because like, oh my God, it's a Star Wars film. Yeah. Oh my God. Start to finish. Absolutely loved it, and I'm going to go out on a limb here now and say that of the three new ones, the three sequels, this is the best. Ooh. Of the three, and by a big margin, in my mind anyway. I know everyone's opinions are different, but in my mind, it's the best of the three, because from start, it was action-packed from start to finish. You did not get a second, and the fact that it was an absolute, unbelievable, emotional roller coaster. There was serious highs, serious lows, but you didn't even get a second in between them. High-low, yeah. Kylo Ren. You know, that's the way it was. And it just I absolutely loved it.
Okay, coming out with the big statements right off the bat here. Jerry holding nothing back, best of the trilogy. Because, you know what, like, there is a lot of positivity on here for this. Certainly more than Last of the Jedi. It's kind of the opposite way that it was to Last of the Jedi, where the critics love Last of the Jedi, but the fans hated it. This time, it's the other way around. But even a lot of what I'm seeing about the positivity is like, okay, it's probably the worst of this trilogy. But like, that's not to invalidate what you're saying or to disagree with what you're saying. That's what you're taking from it, and that's a perfectly, a more than educated and valid point of view from someone who's given a lot of their life to Star Wars and their free time to Star Wars. So I totally respect that. For me, I would agree with the camp that say it's the worst of the three. Now, consider this. This is a hot take review. This is, like, we can't even begin to think about ranking this yet, because I think you need to see, for movies like Star Wars and so on, when you actually care about the rankings and stuff, like, we all have our own little personal ones, but when you actually care that much, you have to see it two or three times to fully digest it. Consider, for example, the last podcast we did. The Last Jedi I watched the morning we taped that podcast, and it went from number 7 to me to number 2 in my rankings that day. And that wasn't just like a controversial take. That was my genuine feeling from it, where I actually enjoyed it more than I'd enjoyed any other movie that I'd watched in my rewatch of it, except for Empire, because nothing's going to beat Empire for me. But... like, leaving this, I have to say that it was, for me, the least enjoyable. But having said that, I also really enjoyed the first two. So the first two comfortably made my top five. So, like, that's not to slight it necessarily. And I may change my opinion as time goes on and it settles more on me and I see it more and I digest more. But also, having said that, I don't mean to be negative about it, because I left this when I was texting you, smiling and feeling happy and elated. I was in the lucky position that I'd heard a lot of the criticism beforehand, because it had been out a few days and the critics had had their way with it by then. So I went into it with expectations lowered. I went into it like not expecting it to be the greatest movie ever, which can sometimes damage. When you hear amazing reviews about something and it just turns out to be a good movie, you sometimes come out feeling disappointed. So I was like, okay, I'll lower my expectations and just accept whatever we get. Because like you said, when that scroll comes up and when you just hear that bam, da-da-da-da, you're just very aware that you're like in a movie, you're in an event, shit's going down. This is not just the start of any average movie where you're just in the cinema like, okay, I guess the movie's starting. This is Star Wars. This is something big. This is something the world is going to discuss. Like when we were watching Game of Thrones earlier in the year, regardless of what people thought, everyone's going to think something. And you're now part of that conversation. So it's exciting. And it's just like, for me, I stopped caring about what the critics thought, and I just said, you know what, I've given so much of the last few months to this. Watching all the movies, listening to Binge Mode, Star Wars podcast, if you haven't listened to it and you enjoy these kind of podcasts, guys, like, listen to it now. It's amazing, it's incredible, the depth they go into all of this, and the stuff I've learned from it that I didn't know previously. Also as well, I finished the Resistance Reborn book there on Thursday, so just in time. And I loved that as well, just a bit of extra plot intricacy they added to the movie in the way they made you care more about minor characters. Like, I was devastated when Snap died. Devastated, because I got to know him that bit more in the book. Like, so, like, that kind of stuff, like, added to it. And I'm like, I'm not going to... I did all of that to enjoy this, so I'm going to do what I can to enjoy it rather than have my, you know, cool opinion. And, like, yeah, look, I saw what some of the critics were saying, because I'd seen, even though I'm trying to avoid it, you couldn't avoid some stuff, especially when it comes to Star Wars. I'd seen stuff like fan service, and there was like three scenes in it where there was like Han came back, and then there was Lando, and then there was Luke, one after the other, and then you're just like, all right, I get where they came from, but you know what, I'm just gonna submit to it. I'm just gonna, like, this is the last Star Wars in the Skywalker saga. I'll get what I get, and I'll live with it, and I'll be happy for it. Like, and then when I took it from that point of view, I really enjoyed it. But having said that, I do have questions. And now when I look into and parse through the reviews that I'd avoided beforehand, I see some of the issues that people are having with it. So we'll get to that, and we'll deal with it head on, like, for better or for worse. And we'll ask the question, like, what do we actually think of this? So I'll get to some of the criticisms and see what you think. What some of the critics are saying, the movie, like I said, there's a lot of fan service in it. There's too much going on. You don't have time to breathe or process a lot of it. Plot points didn't make sense. It was a rip-off of Return of the Jedi, I'm seeing a lot. So when you hear that, Jerry, having come out on the other side, how does that make you feel? Like, I'm not asking you to necessarily defend it or anything. You don't have to represent Star Wars here. But just objectively, how do you feel when you hear that, having seen the movie and enjoyed it to the level that you did?
You see, I can understand you know, people's feelings towards certain things in the film. There was a lot of fan service, yes, I can't deny that, absolutely not. But I took it for what it was. We were getting to see a little bit of Han, a little bit of Lando, a little bit of Luke. You know, the one thing I kept thinking about when it came to this trilogy is that people kept giving out and kept going on and on about the fact that, this was a fantastic trilogy of books that had Tron in it and whatnot, and that's part of the legacy books now in Star Wars, and that had Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie and all the gang back for the entire thing. And people were saying, well, why couldn't you just use that? Because, lads, they had their trilogy. You need to give someone else a trilogy now. Give someone else a go. That's why, you know, you only got a little bit of them in each movie, because it wasn't about them. It was about a breed of heroes, a new Jedi, a new trooper, a new pilot, a new, you know, so many new characters. It's supposed to be about them. It's not supposed to be about Luke Skywalker. I know it's the Skywalker saga, but you need to, you know, we found out at the end that Rise of Skywalker at the very end was because she took the name Skywalker. So at the end of the day, it is, the whole trilogy was centralized around her. So the first one is centralized around Obi-Wan and Anakin. The second one is around, it's all about Luke and Leia and Han. The third one couldn't be about them. It had to be about somebody else. So many people giving out about, oh, there wasn't enough of it. It wasn't about them. He absolutely put them in it to absolutely bolster up and give a bit of credibility, and then, but it has to be about the new guys. So when you see so many critics giving out, you know, fan service, okay, they were always going to be in it. Luke was always going to be in it. Lando, Han, Leia, all the originals, Chewie, C-3PO. Like, the C-3PO stuff I thought was actually really good. He's not my favourite character. I don't particularly like him, but the stuff with him, I thought, that was actually really good. It was really cleverly done. I really, really liked that. Now, lad, now, come here, listen. This is not a perfect film. Not by any stretch of the imagination. There were things happening in this film and I just went, oh, Jesus. You know, I can understand them going, oh, it's like the Return of the Jedi. You know, we had a bit of Endor. We had, obviously, the Emperor in it. You know, a couple of hundred Star Destroyer Death Stars. It's a bit shitty. You know, but, you know, these things are going to happen. But I enjoyed it. Absolutely, really, really enjoyed it. There was one thing, though. There was one scene. I'm looking at it going, you didn't need to do that.
I know what you're going to say.
You know, it was the kiss.
Okay.
What did you think I was going to say?
Okay, I thought you were going to say the Ewoks. I was like, lads, you're not helping your case with the Jedi comparisons. You're not helping your case. Like, you just had the old Darth Vader, the new version of Darth Vader, turn good and kill Emperor Palpatine, and then you're going to show the Ewoks celebrating. You're really just writing the critics' reviews for them by including that. I got what they were going for, but I was like, oh, lads, you're making it so easy to pick you apart here. Like, just leave that one scene out. We get it. They're probably happy. But come on, go on. The kiss, though, this is interesting, because a lot of people are mad about this. They're saying that they're salty that they didn't get their Finn and Poe romance. They didn't get a payoff for it. I gotta say, part of me was a bit salty that we didn't get anything acknowledged with Finn. Like, for example, what was he trying to say to Rey? Also, as well, like, part of me was salty about the Finn and Poe romance, because, like, they built it up in Resistance Reborn. So I was like, when I read that, and I'm like, I know this is canon. I know she's got permission to write all of this and drop hints and stuff. So, like, they really built it up. Like, there's a scene where, like, Poe is fixing a tie for Finn, and it's just very, like, there's, like, sexual chemistry going on there, and you're like, right, you know what you're doing. You know what you're hinting at. They're definitely going to get to this. And then there's kind of nothing, and then they have the kiss to be like, but, like, we remember the gays, and it's just, like, that's in the background, and it's excessive, and it feels tacked on, and then there's that scene where Poe just nods at Zori, and she's just like, nah, and it's like, they felt like they had to make Poe straight for some reason, so I hear that criticism. So, go on, what was your issue with it? Was it along those lines, or what did you feel when you saw the kiss?
Well, which kiss are we talking about here?
Oh, we're talking about... Oh, you're talking about Rey and Ben.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the lesbian kiss there, because that's what I'm seeing people giving out about.
Okay, well, let's talk about that first. obviously that just came out of nowhere because you didn't see it coming, because the character that's there only had a few lines in two movies.
Yeah.
Maybe two lines in two movies. So you just didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I was against it, because it's good to see stuff like that happening, but I think it might be just, you know, it's just put in there for the sake of putting it in.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real, like, proper feeling behind it. It was just, oh, that's a woman kissing a woman. Great. Brilliant.
It was because of Finn and Poe, though. It's because they weren't giving us Finn and Poe, but they're like, but this isn't because we're homophobic. You can't say that, because look, two girls. What? Look. And it's just like, nah, you just bottled it, lads. Yeah. You just bottled it big time. Yeah. Like, there was just... were you upset we didn't get Finn Poe?
From the first two.
Yeah.
They had a great relationship. It was almost like it went from a buddy to... could something happen here to back to buddy again?
Yeah.
And I'm not upset about it. No, I'm really not, because I thought at the end of The Last Jedi, I thought we were going to get Poe and Poe and Rey, because that's what when they first met at the end of The Last Jedi, they shook hands and it's like, it's pleased to meet you. She had a big smile on her face. He had a big smile. I was like, oh, we're going to get that in the next movie.
Yeah.
So I was kind of expecting that rather than Finn, because in Resistance Reborn, Poe specifically asks Finn, oh, what happened with Rose, and what happened with Rey? And like, no, we're just friends.
Yeah.
And then it's at that point you think, oh, are they actually going to go with Finn and Poe?
Yeah.
But then they just didn't. Obviously their relationship was fantastic in the movie. And that scene right at the end where Rey returns and, you know, she's battered to fuck and she's just absolutely, you know, everyone's just exhausted and there's blood and there's bruises and there. But the three of them, just the embrace that the three of them had at the end, I thought, that's, you know, everyone's feeling that way. It's like, yes! You know, we got it. That's how I felt. I was like, yes!
Yeah.
Fucking great. You know, we do, you know, I enjoyed this and this was good. And I did, you know, I wasn't upset that we didn't get that. I wasn't upset that we didn't get, you know, Finn and Rey, or Finn and Poe, or Poe and Rey, or whatever combination there.
Mm.
What I didn't particularly like about the kiss I was talking about, which was Ben and Rey, because it wasn't needed.
Mm.
You know, he brought her back. She was dead. She was gone. That was it. It was over. And he brought her back. And all they needed was the look.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been what could have been. Because when they kissed, and then boom, he's dead.
Yeah.
It's like you're taking something away from her. Yeah. Whereas it should have been, it nearly happened. And he should have, at that point, he should have just dropped.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple, I do have a couple of gripes about the movie. But overall, just for me, I just absolutely loved it. The fan service part, come on. Like, if there was none, they'd be given out.
Yeah.
And now that there's loads in it, let's throw loads in here. Oh, no, that's too much. And give me a break. Like, I can understand people being pissed off at certain things in it, but I love the cameos in it. I love the fact that John Williams is finally in a Star Wars movie. That was, for me, that was fantastic. The fact that we got a tiniest little bit of Wedge Antilles, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. Oh, just, as I said, there are certain things that I didn't like. You know, let's go to, like, the special effects type stuff, right?
Okay.
So we've got a couple of hundred Star Destroyers that are now Star Destroyers with big, massive lasers that they're Death Stars. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, okay, right. That wasn't needed.
Yeah, stop going back to Death Stars.
Exactly. You could have just had a massive fleet that was going to destroy planets.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have a big, massive laser. I can understand why they put the laser part in now, because when you're looking back, oh, that was how they could destroy the ships. Another thing as well, about that, almost about that thing, so you've got this tiny little rebel fleet that has now gone in, and they're trying to blow these things up, and they're being successful, but there's just not enough of them. And then you hear Lando, well, there's more of us than there is of them. So I thought we were going to see a nice fleet. And then you look and go, well, Jesus, there's 3.5 million lads there. Where were you at the end of Last Jedi?
Yeah.
I looked at that fleet and went, that's a little bit excessive.
Do you know what, though? Do you know what? I for me, that was the Avengers Endgame moment where they all come back. And it's like, for me, that worked because, like, I get what you're saying. I do. If I thought about it, I'd hate it. But, like, I chose to just let myself go. And then it's like, we're here. And then it's just like, you see them and you're like, oh, they're so fucked. And you're just like, it's that kind of same surging feeling you get when they all come back in Endgame. And you're just like, din, din. And you're like, yeah. And like, yeah. I felt like that part of the movie very much needed one because it was getting to ridiculous levels where they're like, the odds are against, it was like John Cena levels of the odds are against them. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like they can't possibly survive, but I know obviously they're going to, but they can't. Yeah. Like, it's going to be unrealistic whatever you do. And then just doing that, but so overcompensating with how many people they had was like, they made it almost ridiculous enough that I got back into it. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, okay, like the entire galaxy has come to protect them. The Resistance is one. What made that work for me, though, was Resistance Reborn, because of all the talk of hope, and you just need to, it's just a spark that ignites a fire. And then, like, that played into that for me, because whether they meant it or not, I attached that to that, because I'm like, they kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and they flew out to challenge them, and word got back that they were still fighting, and people said, you know what, yes, finally, the it ignited the fire, and that was the fire they were referring to. So I didn't mind it from that standpoint because they had hinted towards it. Where I kind of, the gripe I had with it was, and this is where I hear the critics, I wanted to see the sequel to The Last Jedi. We didn't get the sequel to The Last Jedi. We got the sequel to The Force Awakens. And for me, that's where I start to hear the critics a bit more. Because what I loved about The Last Jedi and the situation they were in, whether J.J. Abrams agreed with Rian Johnson or not. And here's the thing, Rian Johnson is coming out in interviews now, and he's not like, he's not salty or anything. He's actually handling it like a pro, where he's like, I got to direct the Star Wars movie. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. And if people have a problem with it, okay, oh well, but I loved what I did and I'm proud of my work, which is a boss way to handle it. Whereas J.J. Abrams, I feel, for me, I love The Force Awakens. I didn't mind it being compared to A New Hope because it was the nods were deliberate and it was different enough and it was new and fresh enough that I liked it. I sat through The Force Awakens and it was the one movie in this trilogy where I didn't have conflicted feelings at all because I'm just like, yes, we're back. You know? But for this and where they went with Last Jedi, where they just took a left turn, I wanted to see where that movie ended. I wanted to see where that series ended. I wanted to see what the new Star Wars was going to look like, and that's what I felt I was promised. Instead, what I got was a very old-school Star Wars that was very Return of the Jedi. And it's not even that it's a slight against the movie because I did enjoy the movie, but it's a disappointment I feel having, when I think about what I wanted after The Last Jedi, I wanted to take it somewhere completely different. And instead I got, hey, remember the bad guy from the original trilogy I loved? Well, he's the bad guy in this too. Remember how like his apprentice turned on him? Well, you're getting that too. Remember the Ewok celebrated? Well, you're getting that too. You know what I mean? So it's like, to me, J.J. Abrams, And I feel bad saying this because it's the first time I thought it after watching it, but for me, he's the wrong guy to have on this project. Because he's too much of a wrestling term, he's too much of a mark for Star Wars. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like he doesn't have the balls to make his own Star Wars movie and make a fresh one new enough. You know what I mean? And it's like he was almost apologizing for Rian Johnson. Like, he deliberately overcorrected a lot of things that Rian Johnson did that was actually bold, like saying Rey's parentage meant nothing. And then they had to have this awkward, clunky scene with Kylo in it where it was like, well, your parents were nothing. I wasn't lying when I said that before, but your grandfather was Palpatine. And then it's like, well, no, that's not really true, Kylo, because that means that her ma or da, I don't think we actually got an explanation as to which one, but one of them was Kylo's daughter or son. I'm like, that's a big deal. That's a person. That is a notable human. That also means that Palpatine fucks. Palpatine had sex. Who was the mother? Who was like, who's her grandmother? Like, who did Palpatine fuck? What happened there? I want to know that story. And I felt like it was just kind of like, all right, I'm sorry you didn't like that Rey's parents were nobodies. I'm sorry you complained about that last time. No, that was a lie. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? And it felt like he was just putting it under the table and apologizing. And I don't necessarily want that from my directors. If I'm trusting a Star Wars franchise in you, I want you to tell me. I want you to lead me by the hand like Rian Johnson did and go, no, this is what Star Wars is now. Live with it. Whether you like it or not, like, live with it. I like feeling that way. With J.J. Abrams, I felt like he was clamoring towards me. And I don't want, in a big blockbuster like Star Wars, or even Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, I want to be led. I don't want to lead. I don't want to call the shots in Star Wars, you know? And that's the problem for me with J.J. Abrams. And it's the one kind of outstanding issue that I have, the one big outstanding issue I have with this movie. I have a million little gripes, but the one big issue that I have with this movie is that I wanted to see the sequel to The Last Jedi.
Yeah. I don't think we were ever going to get that. Simply because Disney, Rian Johnson, obviously, you know, he was supposed to get his own trilogy. Probably not going to happen now because he was so left of field from The Force Awakens. When you look at the three movies, you got something that was like old. You got something brand spanking new, not even close to anything we had ever seen before. And that scared Disney. And they were like, no, JJ, let's go back. Let's go back to the old formula. We need to have something that is new, but it's actually really old. Now, for me, I didn't mind that because one of my favorites, it was in my top three, was Return of the Jedi. The reason behind that is because of Palpatine. I absolutely love Palpatine. He's probably my favorite character in Star Wars because he's just so deliciously evil. And I think in this movie, he absolutely excelled as to how evil he is. Even the look, the voice, everything about him. Like that fantastic scene right at the start of the movie where he's talking to Kylo and he says the words, "I have been every voice you've ever heard inside your head." And you get
do
the voice.
Voices,
you're like, oh shit, that was good. What?
Do the voice.
I
know. Don't leave that on the table. Like, we know you can do an awesome Palpatine. If you're gonna quote him, then you gotta do it in the voice.
No, but I can't see that just because I can do Palpatine, but I can't do Snoke and Vader, so I'm not even gonna try and do that. but for me, I have to say I did like how, you know, obviously a lot of people were pissed off because Snoke was just gone. He was just a puff of smoke and he was gone. And we didn't really know anything about him. I personally loved that. I thought, oh wow, that was like, oh shit, he's dead.
Same.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. But I also liked the fact how that, you know, people were so pissed off after The Last Jedi. Well, we didn't know anything about him and he didn't last long. Okay, well, you didn't know anything about him because there really wasn't anything to know about him. He was just a fucking clone made by Palpatine. That's all it was. And I like that explanation behind it. Now, in terms of the whole Palpatine Rey thing, okay, let me just delve into this here, okay? People are saying, you know, like you said, oh, is Palpatine fucking, who's the grandmother? You know, how did this happen? Well, if we go back to a very old theory, when we go back to the Phantom Menace, all the way back, and how his mother said there was no father, and how it's been theorized for so many years that no, actually there was, and it was Palpatine himself. So who's to say that he didn't do that with Rey's parents, or with you know, grandmother or grandfather, whatever it may be? Who's to say that didn't happen with that? That he was trying to create a new one? Because if we believe that Palpatine is the father of Anakin Skywalker, then he was deliberately trying to create an heir, his heir, someone that was as powerful as him or more powerful than him. And then when that failed in Return of the Jedi, when his heir turned on him and, you know, like threw him down the shaft, obviously he didn't kill him, he said to himself, no, this didn't work. I need to do something else. And that's where I see that coming from there. Now, we're never going to get a confirmation about any of that.
Yeah.
So we all have to go by our own theories and our own way of thinking. And if you like that idea, stick it in your head and go with it. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. I like leaving things open like that.
Yeah. There are certain things that just don't need to be explained.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that they're giving you the option to decide how it was. And that's how it's going to be. For me, in this, I absolutely loved Palpatine. Every single scene that he was in was excelled because he was in it.
Yeah.
The one thing for me, though, in this movie, and it's the one thing that I said to myself, they missed a trick on that, was, okay, we got a lightsaber battle between the two on the planet in with the water surrounding them and whatnot. But for me, it wasn't the Duel of the Fates fight. It didn't even come close to the throne room scene from The Last Jedi, which is exceptional. That's the one of those badass scenes, and we didn't get that. Because in the trailers, they really tricked you.
Yeah.
Because in the trailers, there's two trailers where the two of them are fighting on the Death Star, and you get the Duel of the Fates music, and they're like, "Oh, we are going to get one badass fight." Didn't really get it. Now, I liked the fight, and I did like what happened on the Sith planet where Palpatine was there, and Ben turns up and he doesn't have a lightsaber, and then boom, she uses that trick of their connection, and boom, he has a lightsaber. And I liked the little fight that he had with the Knights of Ren, and then the stuff between the two of them and Palpatine. I did like it, but we didn't get that epic lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
Look at Revenge of the Sith. My favorite film of all the Star Wars films. We got two epic lightsaber battles in that. Palpatine and Yoda, which was epic in itself. But then you look at Anakin and Obi-Wan. Holy shit. Like, nothing had ever been done like that before. And it was just, it was exceptionally good. We didn't get it in this film. So that's why I said to myself, you missed the trick there, lads. You definitely missed that. You could have put something more epic in there. Or even something along the lines of, Palpatine wanted Rey to kill him so he could basically inhabit her body.
Mm.
And that goes back to legacy books. That's exactly how a Palpatine stayed alive. His body would die, but his essence would go into a new body. So he'd have clones and whatnot coming along, and he would inhabit them. They'd die, and he'd go into a next one. So that's how he kept surviving. So I said to myself, you could have done something there, and you could have had that dark Rey moment. That it wasn't really Rey, it was Palpatine controlling Rey. Mm. He'd taken over her body, and it was Kylo that had to not kill her, but it kind of extracts Palpatine in whatever way, shape or form. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we missed something there. I definitely think we missed something. Now, I liked it. I liked the fact that, he's there and he's only half a body. He's on a crane. His fingers are all broken off. He's in bits, basically. He's like Lego on a Christmas morning. He's in absolute bits. And he starts to take their essence. And he's basically like, whoa.
Mm.
Well, okay, I'll have a little bit more of that.
Mm.
And he went from half a Return of the Jedi Palpatine to right back to Revenge of the Sith Palpatine. He looked like it. He sounded like it. And you felt it. It was like, oh, he's this is a fully powered Palpatine.
Yeah.
And I loved that scene. People were giving out about, and it was literally as I left the cinema, people were giving, how could Rey have beaten him? How could Rey have beaten him? Well, hold on a minute, right? Look back at other people that have beaten Palpatine. Yoda, okay. Yeah, okay. In their duel, Yoda lost, but it's only because he slipped and fell. If they were on a level playing field, he'd have beaten the shit out of Palpatine because he was more powerful than him.
Yeah.
Then you look at, Luke was supposed to have been the most powerful Jedi ever, okay? And Palpatine couldn't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets picked up and gets thrown down the trench. So then, right, so then if you then look at the last movie, The Last Jedi, you look at the moment where Luke decides, right, I am going to teach you. I'm going to give you a couple of lessons. You're going to become a Jedi. And he feels that raw power inside Rey. And he says the line, I've only felt that raw power before. It didn't scare me enough then.
Mm.
It scares the hell out of me now. And that just meant that, okay, well, Rey is going to be more powerful than Luke. Luke's supposed to be the most powerful ever. And then in that scene, you know, Palpatine is shocking the lightsaber, and Rey is like, he's like, I am all the Sith. And she's like, well, I'm all the Jedi. Yeah. The second lightsaber ignites, like, go on, kick his ass. As much as I love Palpatine, I thought it was a fitting end to him. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. It wasn't a perfect movie. And one thing that I will say to you was, I talked to my friend Matt after we came out of the cinema, and he said, it was good, I liked it, but it wasn't perfect. And I said, well, is there any movie that is perfect? And then he said something, he said, well, how did you feel after you watched Infinity War? And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Because when I watched Infinity War, I came out of Infinity War, I sat in my car, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe for a second. I was like, oh, my God,
what did I
just watch? That was epic. Like, I said, if I could do that, if I could be in a movie that made people feel like that, oh, that would be better than winning an Oscar.
Mm.
And this movie didn't do that for me.
Yep.
Now, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it is, I think, the best of the trilogy. You know, you disagree, and that's fine. People are going to disagree. A lot of people are going to disagree. But when I see people that have been very critical of the last two movies and shitting all over, oh, they haven't even seen it yet. And then you see them put up a Facebook post going, I've seen it. It's better than I thought.
Yeah.
And you're like, ha! Well, shove that up your arse, you shithead. You know, it is changing people's opinions.
Yeah.
So, I liked it. There was parts I didn't like. There was parts I did. But overall, I was very content. I thought the very end was a fantastic tribute to Star Wars. You know, she buries the lightsabers.
Yeah.
You see the two Force ghosts and the big smile. I have to say, what they did with Carrie Fisher in that film.
We need to talk about this.
Short of amazing.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, because we disagree here. Yes, we disagree. Every time Carrie Fisher was in this movie, it took me out of it. There were a couple of times where I welled up. When Rey hugged Carrie Fisher, Rey was our avatar there. At least that's how I took it. She was our avatar as the audience. We were hugging Carrie Fisher. She was saying goodbye to her. We knew in that moment that it was a goodbye. We didn't know how it was going to be a goodbye, but we knew the way they were holding it, the heft they had, that we were saying goodbye to her. And also when she died and they told Chewbacca, oh my God, I'm still traumatized. Chewbacca, that was heartbreaking, where he'd lost both of them, and it was like, oh my God, you could just feel it. And like, it's one of the most powerful things from a character we can't understand what they say. We understood everything that he was going through his head at that moment. It was absolutely fantastic. But the dialogue for me, like, I heard J.J. Abrams being like, oh, it all just happened to work out. It was amazing. It's a miracle how this old footage just happened to work. And I did not feel that way when I watched the dialogue. Because you just had Carrie Fisher saying some banalities, and then the character she was speaking to having to fill in the plot. And she's like, it's like, Emperor Palpatine's back, and they're building a new fleet, and this is blah. And then you just turn to Carrie Fisher, and she's like, that's not good news. And it's just like, no, that's so cheesy. And such, like, it's not the way that I wanted to say goodbye. And do you know what it made me think of? You, a lot of people who are younger mightn't get this, but you're of my vintage, so you may appreciate this. Did you ever watch Only Fools and Horses? You definitely did.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Big fan. Big, big fan.
Do you remember Uncle Albert died before they did a Christmas special? And the Christmas special, and we all knew he died, it was in the news, and we knew they were filming a Christmas special, and the Christmas special started with Uncle Albert's funeral, and it didn't diminish Uncle Albert in any way, because we knew he died, so we were like, this is us saying goodbye to him as well, like, this is an actual, it's starting with a funeral, and it's just immediately drawing in emotionally, and part of me was like, that would have been a better way than to just have her deliver clunky dialogue, which wouldn't have been clunky. It's not on Carrie Fisher, but the way it's edited and the way everyone has to fill in the blanks around her, it comes across clunky. And it's almost like, I wouldn't say, it definitely wasn't disrespectful, because they meant it in a way, they wanted to give us that big goodbye, and they definitely, between Rey's hug and Chewbacca's reaction, you know, they gave us that they gave us the time to have a cry, basically, which I did, like, you know, I tears streaming down my face when Chewbacca was inconsolable. So like, I guess the end justifies the means, but still, I didn't like it. I didn't understand why she had to die. I didn't like the way Maz had to explain it. And it's like, oh, she knows what she has to do. And like, I'm literally like, I'm trying, I found myself almost at times like playing a game while watching the Carrie Fisher scenes, in that like, I was like, what part of The Force Awakens was that from? And when she walked away, like, because she knew she had to die, I was like, oh, that's obviously a cut scene from when they told her about Han. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's where that came from. And you know what I mean? I was almost like filling in the blanks, and I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. I should feel connected to this movie. But the dialogue was so jarring, where like, I could see, like, they just didn't connect it in a way. And like, this is a series which has done so well. In Rogue One, they had the old general at the Death Star, like, and they brought him back, and he was totally CGI'd, but like, I believed it and I bought it. So I had faith that this would pay off, but for me, it just didn't. And it would have been better to even, like, for me, I had two issues here that they could have resolved in one. I didn't like how they brought Palpatine into it. I agree with everything you say about his performance. I don't have anything to add there. But I didn't like how the dead speak. Word has reached across the galaxy that a message has been sent by Emperor Palpatine. And I'm like, really? Emperor fucking Palpatine is back? And we don't get to see that message? We don't get to, like, you don't think that that's worth us seeing? How is that message conveyed? Did he just, like, speak and then the whole galaxy heard? Or was there a recording? Or did he want people to know? Did he appear to someone? What happened there? Why would you not explain how Emperor fucking Palpatine has come back? Why would you just throw that away in the opening scroll? Like, I get that you were going for, like, when it's the dead speak, when that's, that grabs you, like, I get what they were going for, but then they just open with us being like, oh yeah, he's back, just deal with it. And like, I didn't mind the explanation he gave, where it's like, some parts of the Sith are unnatural. They did hint at that, like, he told, the reason Darth Vader became Darth Vader was because he believed he could be made immortal because Palpatine promised him. So I'm okay with the explanation he gave, that there are parts of Sith lore where you can do this and survive even after death. So I was okay with that. But I didn't like the opening, and I didn't like Leia. And I'm like, if you could have just started with a funeral for Leia, and you could have done that in your opening scroll, like, what happened? We'd have accepted not being able to see a death scene for Leia, because we know the story. We know that Carrie Fisher couldn't have filmed it. So we're ready to go there right off, and you can immediately grab me in emotionally. But instead, you start me with a, huh? What? We're not going to see Palpatine. We're really not going to see how Palpatine comes back. You're not going to show us that. You immediately started me off on the back foot. And then I had to decide to go with it instead of grabbing me in. Whereas if you open with a funeral for Leia and you just give me that moment, I'm in straight away. Do you know what I mean? So that was my issue with Leia. But you disagree. So I'd like to hear that, because I want to like this movie. So sell me on it.
Well, okay, right. I can understand you're not liking the dialogue, because, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't have much. You know, they had to use footage that were shot from The Last Jedi and from Force Awakens. So obviously they were very, very restricted as to what they could do. And I can understand their difficulties behind it. And I understand, I genuinely thought we were going to see a funeral scene at the very start. I genuinely thought that was how it was going to start. You know, we did see in the trailer that hug, that just the heartstrings get, oh Jesus. I thought we were going to see that as maybe a slight little flashback, and we were only going to get a tiny bit of Carrie Fisher, and then there was going to be a funeral. I thought we were going to get that. Obviously we didn't, because they needed to go in a different direction. I can understand why, because the whole thing about her being there was because she had to die to get through to her son. And I get that. Now, it wasn't perfect, but I thought it was respectful to Carrie Fisher. Obviously, this was planned to be her swan song. You know, the first, Force Awakens was Han's. The second was going to be Luke's. This was supposed to be Carrie Fisher's, and we didn't get it. So they had to, they're like, well, she has to be in it. We can't just kill her. And I can understand that, right, that's why they had her in. It was for that one scene where she finally gets true to him, and then that kind of starts him on the road to redemption. Mm. It wasn't perfect. No, it wasn't. The dialogue wasn't great, and the CGI wasn't. You know, there were parts where it was obviously CGI'd. It wasn't great, but there was a couple of little things that it was like, there wasn't a point in this film where I didn't have a smile on my face. And every time Carrie Fisher came on the scene, it was like, what could have been, you know, that's what I kept thinking. What could have been? Jesus, how epic would this have been if she was still alive?
Yeah,
because it would have been so much better. And I understand that, you know, the limitations with the dialogue. I get that. And I get the fact that other people had to kind of explain it. But I was getting Carrie Fisher. I was getting a little bit more Carrie Fisher, you know, so I was happy with that.
Yeah.
But for me, I understand, though, with that part at the very start, it was a bit shocking to me. You get the scroll and you're like, oh, shit, they're just, what? Mm. Emperor Palpatine straight away. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Like, I would have liked for Kylo to hear that voice in his head. Come and find me. And it, you know, he's thinking he's going to find Vader, and he doesn't. He finds Palpatine. You're like, oh, that would have been so much fucking better. Mm. It's not a perfect movie, it really isn't. There is so much that we can go through. That we did like this, we did like that. Like, you know, Return to Jedi. I think nobody likes Ewoks. Nobody likes the fact that Ewoks were able to beat an entire legion of the most elite stormtroopers in the Empire.
Yeah.
That's why I just forget about that bit. I focus on the positives, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved Return to Jedi, and I love this film.
Okay.
I think there was a little bit of a teaser at the end as well, because obviously she buries the two lightsabers, and that it was a night that in itself was almost like a funeral. She was letting the two of them go. You know, the two lightsabers were gone, and it was Luke and Leia's, she then ignites her lightsaber. But if you watch that scene again, when she first gets onto Tatooine and she's going into the homestead and whatnot, if you look at the lightsaber on her hip, her own one, her brand new one, the hilt itself is far too long for it to be a single one.
Right.
So they didn't show us it, but I guarantee it was a double-bladed one.
Right.
Like they teased in the trailers with the red one, but it was a double-bladed yellow one.
Yeah.
So absolutely, I love that bit. And then the fact that she takes the name Skywalker, and that's where we get the rise of Skywalker from. Now, I was dead certain that that's not how that was going to go.
Mm.
I was dead certain that the whole rise of Skywalker was going to be, well, the Jedi are gone, but now we're going to be Skywalkers, and that's what they were going to be. They were all going to be Skywalkers.
Right.
New group of people.
Yeah.
I was completely wrong. My predictions have been dreadful when it comes to anything, when it comes to Game of Thrones, when it comes to Star Wars. But I'm happy they didn't, because it meant that I was surprised.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the whole thing I loved it from start to finish. Now, there was another thing that I didn't particularly like.
Okay.
Was the whole, this romantic thing between Poe and, I can't even remember the character's name,
Zari.
The one that was wearing the helmet.
Zari.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And we were kind of getting a little romantic thing. Even asked for a kiss, she just said no. And you know, it's, you know, I understand them want to put a little bit of humor into it. But I was like, did we really need her?
Mm.
It was kind of pointless to me. She really was pointless. You know, if you could just take her out completely.
Yeah.
You could have Lando bring them to this, the little guy that fixed C-3PO, which I thought was brilliant.
Yes! Boba Frick.
He was great. Boba he was Frick. Fantastic.
Ah, oh, he was brilliant. He's my favorite character. Oh my God. The way he was just like, hey! It was amazing. I loved him so, so fucking much. He was like when he shows
absolutely
him,
brilliant.
And then he comes back at the end and you're having this emotional swell. And then he just flies by and you're like, hey! And you're like, yeah! I would watch it a whole. Brilliant. This is a movie I want to see, right? In the future, right? Give me Rian Johnson, give me Baby Yoda, and give me Bobo Frick, and just stick them on an adventure, and I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm just like, I'll just watch that for days on end.
Put it on Disney Plus and I'll watch it. Absolutely fantastic. Now there was one other thing, and I think this is the last thing that not pissed me off, and I looked at it and went, really? Was the whole General Hux thing.
Okay, I do want to touch on this, yes.
So General Hux, obviously, you know, he was absolute badass in the first two films. At one point you thought, oh, he's going to be Supreme Leader, he's going to shoot Kylo in the head, and then he's like, no, better put that pistol away because he's alive. And then, you know, he was a badass. And obviously he didn't like Kylo Ren. It was very, very obvious. But then as soon as you hear there's a spy, I instantly thought, well, that's General Hux. But I didn't see it going the way it went.
Yeah.
You know, General Hux, you better shoot me to make it look real. And then he just goes up and he gets shot and he's dead. You're like, yeah. Oh, well, that's just the end of that. Okay.
Yeah, they did him dirty. Right. Yeah.
Yes, they really did. I think they absolutely did not do him credit. You know, Donald Gleason, fantastic actor.
Yeah.
He played this part well. That speech from The Force Awakens, oh my God. It was like you could feel that he believed it.
Yeah.
Every part of his being was coming out in that speech. And well, and the part of it right at the very end, well, bow to the First Order. And you're like, oh, that was great. That was fucking brilliant. And then he gets shot in the third one. And it was so meaningless, so pointless. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, well, he's shot the spy. Great.
They were on the verge of doing something good with Hux. Like, they were on the verge of, like, because I liked his character twist. I liked it when it happened initially. Because, like, look, there were a lot of predictable beats in this. Like, as soon as they had the idea of a Jedi spy, as soon as they had it, like, I'm not just saying this in hindsight, but I as soon as Palpatine came in and I'm like, oh, Rey's parentage is a thing again. Oh, Palpatine, she's going to be connected to Palpatine. Oh, Ben is going to be the one who turns. They're going to tease that Rey's going to turn over to Ben, but Ben's going to be the one who turns, and either way they fight in the end. I kind of knew that happened. And as soon as they mentioned the spy, I'm like, it's Hux. It's Hux. They built up him and Kylo all the way. So, like, it's Hux that's turning. But I didn't mind it, and I liked the explanation he gave, where he's like, I don't care if you win, I just want him to lose. And I'm like, yes, that's so consistent with his character. And I just wanted to live there for maybe 5 more minutes, but the next scene he's dead, and I'm like, again, I wouldn't have minded if he'd have died in that way, because that was what Hux became, and he was quite good at it as well. He became a kind of a symbol of mockery, and like, whereas in The Force Awakens he was an intimidation, but I didn't mind him. He was kind of Loki in the first Avengers movie, you know what I mean, where he's just like kind of a comedy heel rather than anything else, and I'm okay with that, because Star Wars does need those bits to breathe, and he was really good at it. Was the main reason his performance. He was so good at being the bad guy who just got shit on the whole time. Like, so I didn't mind it. But like I wanted to live with that character for an extra scene or two at least. Develop that area of it. Don't just have it be for a twist for the sake of it, and then twist him back because it's a shocking death. I didn't even mind the death scene, because like it was genuinely shocking. Because you did think that you were going to get, like, time with this. Like, a part of me was like, maybe he'll stay until the end somehow. But, and then, of course, so it was shocking. But, like, give me a scene extra with him as, like, we know he's the good guy, but actually he's still in enemy territory now. Like, this is tense. You could have built a lot of tension there, and they just threw it away for a shock death. And for a character as who's done the trilogy as solid like Donald Gleason has, and who's given his all for this and really raised his stock as an actor here, I felt that, yeah, that was harsh. Another person who they did dirty, I have to say, was Rose. She, like, after all they built up, like, where did any of that go? Again, that's just JJ just apologizing for the Last Jedi, and they're just like trying to rewrite that and pretend it didn't happen. And also as well, another thing which they, like, literally, I just think they forgot about this. What was Finn trying to tell Rey? They just never answered that.
That was something that pissed me off, and I'm like, oh, are we going to find out? No. One more? No. No, we just don't get it.
They just forgot it.
We're never going to get it. It might be a thing where you might get a deleted scene that, oh, that's what it was about. And it could, and you know what, when we actually find out what it is, it's probably going to be so stupid that we're like, oh, I'm glad you took that out.
I think it was force sensitivity.
Oh, why didn't you put that in the movie?
I think it was this force sensitivity. I think it was that. Like, but like, we already kind of knew that. Like, as soon as he was able to go against Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens, we're like, with a lightsaber, we're like, all right, Finn's got some skills that he doesn't even know about. So we knew that.
Yeah.
So, like, you just confirmed it. But, like, was it going to be... Yeah, like, there are bits. But let's get positive. One thing that they absolutely nailed. For me, there couldn't have been a better last shot. Rey, BB-8, staring at the jewel moons and Tatooine. I'm like, I don't care if it's fan service. I don't care. I'm just like... Yes, like you ended on a high here, regardless of what I think. That last shot was absolute perfection for me. That I couldn't have thought of a better way to end it. I was just like, all right, God, you got me. I've had issues throughout this, but you got me in the end. And ultimately, like, yeah, look, we started an hour saying we felt positive about it and then spent an hour like giving out about it, but like they still got me. Han Solo's cameo was like a perfect example of this movie where I'm like, oh, that's excessive. And then they try and give a reason for it where Kylo's like, you're just a memory. And I'm like, that's cheap. And then I ask myself, but am I really pissed off to see Han Solo? No, I'm not. No. I'm like, I want to see more Han. I like Harrison Ford. I'm okay with this. I'm going to go with it. And that's how I feel towards this. Yes, there are issues. Yes, there are bits that I could nitpick to death. But did I leave smiling? Did I leave happy? I did. And when I heard it was an absolute shit show during the week, I didn't think I'd get that. So I'm going to count that as a win. And I think you do too.
Oh, it's 100% a win. 100% a win. Like that very last scene, she buries the lightsabers, she ignites her own, she's talking to this woman, and she was like, what's your name? Rey. Well, Rey what? And Rey looks off, she's like, Rey Skywalker. I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
And then the sons and the whole scene, the music. And the one thing I will say about this is, okay, is that for 9 films, for me anyway, music in a film can make or break a movie. Yeah. You look at the Lord of the Rings and it's absolutely epic music throughout the whole thing. Even Game of Thrones, absolutely epic music. But for me, you know, some absolutely amazing world-class actors in Star Wars. They weren't always world-class, but come to the end were great. You know, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, even Daisy Ridley and John Boyega, absolutely Adam fantastic. Ian McDermott, Adam Driver. Oh my God, that man needs to win 10 Oscars.
He should get an Oscar for this. He should get an Oscar for this.
Oh yeah.
Genuinely, like, he should get a best actor for this.
But MVP for the entire Star Wars saga, 9 films, and he has absolutely hit the mark on all of them, has to go to John Williams.
Yes.
The music just, it fills you.
Yeah.
From episode 1 to episode 9, it just fills you. Even when I first watched The Force Awakens, I'm like, right, we're finally getting the new trilogy here, right, let's see how this goes. And the music starts, and you have Kylo's music. So you had the Emperor's music, you had Luke's music, you had Leia's music, you had Darth Vader's music. Yeah. We're getting a bit of Kylo's music. Like, oh, that's perfect for him. Absolutely perfect. And it goes on, and the Duel of the Fates music. And then you hear Palpatine's music again in this film. And then right at the end, you get the suns, you get Tatooine, you get the sand, you get that lovely moment, and then do 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 do, and then boom, it goes right into the Star Wars music. Like, oh, what an ending. He is the MVP of Star Wars, absolutely. For 9 films, he hasn't done us wrong. And whatever people want to say about any of the movies in the entire saga, some people like them, some people hate them, you cannot deny that he is the master of masters. He created Star Wars for us. You know, I know George Lucas was the creator, but for me, music is the essence of the film, and he absolutely brought it, and he this was exceptional.
Like, exceptional. Yeah, you're right there, in that he is someone, no matter the ups and downs we've got with Star Wars, he's never let us down. He's never been anything less than A++. Like, you could, if you were to describe that for me on paper, where it's like you get the, like, basically the greatest hits of Star Wars are played in this, you could describe this for me. Oh, that's excessive. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, if you put that on paper, I'm like, oh, you're just like kind of getting everyone in. But like, when the way it played out, the way he remixed a lot of the songs, the way he made you feel how you needed to feel at any one time, so subtly, and just set the scene. Like, he did that throughout the entire series, but here he just led you lightly. Like, again, just the few bits we got of the Imperial March, which is of course is the most iconic one. But Leia's theme here was so omnipresent the entire time as well. But the way he just like weaved it in so subtly and would mix the songs in so many different ways, like, I absolutely loved it. You nailed it. And like, that's the thing, like, with that stuff, you can't be mad, because as soon as you hear that, you know, like I said, din, 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 and as soon as you get to that end where it's like, din, 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 as soon as you get to that, you smile, and you can't not. And this is why I can't be angry right now, and John Williams, you bastard, because it feels like with this podcast, I should be angry. But you just, that's what he did. He led me where I needed to be emotionally, and as a result, I come away from it, I'm pretty fucking happy on the other side, despite it being a movie I had a lot of problems with.
I know I've given out, you know, we've both given out about parts of this movie, and we've both praised parts of this movie, but overall, for me, from start to finish, absolutely loved it. And, you know, as I say, emotional roller coaster, the whole thing with Chewie, that was the point where I cried.
Oh,
you know, the moment she died, I was just like, oh no, oh Jesus, okay, here we go. But when he died, people kind of gave out about The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, people were saying, well, Chewie had, you know, he didn't really have a reaction. No, I'm sorry, he did. He saw his best friend, the man who had saved his life more than anyone else and had been there for him for years, just get killed by his son. So he did react. He shot his fucking son. Mm. And it was a pretty good shot with his big ass gun. But then he didn't get a chance to grieve, because he was like, well, shoot, we had to get out of here now.
Yeah.
He had to go back to the Falcon. He ran off. There is a slight, like, just a very, very short scene near the end of Force Awakens where he's on his own, Chewbacca's on his own, and he's just like head in his hands, and he is grieving. It's his own grief. But when Leia dies, he's like, oh no, it was bad enough losing one, I can't lose both. And it just, he was holding it in The Force Awakens, and in this movie he let it out, and my geez, I don't think anyone in the screening where I was had a dry eye. It was like, oh Jesus. Oh, because as you said earlier on, he doesn't speak English, you don't understand what he's saying, but you felt every inch of what he was going through. And that, for me, there was fantastic moments like that in this movie. You know, the part where you think, oh my god, Chewie is dead.
Yeah. That scene was fantastic. Like, you cannot,
it was
like,
really, really well done.
This is why I can't hate this movie, because like the highs were so fucking high. That whole scene, like, we'd seen the trailer and we'd seen so much of it, like, so it's like, all right, we're getting to the scene, right? Okay, show me what you got, lads. This is where I'm like, all right, lads. Okay, this is the teaser you sold me on this entire movie on. My expectations are sky high. You better fucking deliver. But oh my god, her and Kylo doing a force battle, then the lightning coming out, and you're just like kind of hinting towards the Palpatine side, and you're like, oh shit, that scene was 10 out of 10. Like, and then the emotional hit of like, Chewie's dead. Chewie's dead. That means Chewie's dead. Holy shit. And it just takes you, like, it hits you in waves, like the fucking gravity of the situation. Now, the reason we're not talking about that is because they immediately went back on it. So that's got to count against it, because, like, well, we would have, like, again, I read a review where it's like, Chewie should have died, but then we wouldn't have got that scene. So, okay, we're quits. But, like, you know, like, for me, it's like, oh my god, you're after traumatizing me. Oh no, he's fine, there he is. It's like, it's J.J. Abrams.
But that's just it.
It's what this movie is. Sorry, I'll let you come in now. Sorry.
Go on.
It's what this movie is for me. It's an amazing scene that hit me, and then he immediately bottles it. And he's like, sorry, Star Wars fans, I didn't mean to upset you. It's all cool. There he is. Look, there's Chewie. He's alive. He's okay. And it's like, have the backbone, man. You did something cool. Just stand by it, like, you know what I mean? Because you fucking hit me there, and then you just immediately apologized. And it's like, no, maybe I wanted that. Maybe I wanted you to do that. I don't know. Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
No. Nobody wanted Chewie to die like that. If Chewie was going to die, he was going to die in the Millennium Falcon, doing what he did best, kicking the crap out of people, and dying a heroic death. If he had genuinely died because she had made a mistake and blew up the transport he was on, Star Wars fans would be up in an uproar. It would be, oh,
fuck them, though. That's great.
Now, it would have been shocking. It really, really would have been shocking, because I literally sat there. I was sitting back and I was like, okay, right, we're getting a little force battle here. Deadly, lovely. I was like, oh, well, maybe they're going to, oh, shit, are they going to do what they did with the lightsaber and cut it in half? What the hell is going to happen here? Mm. And then the lightning comes out and you're like, I literally jumped, mouth wide open, right in the edge of my seat. People are looking at me and I'm like, no, oh, Jesus, no. Oh. And I'm like, and I sat back in my chair and I was like, no, he's not dead. I seen him in different parts of the trailer, and he's alive. I was like, shit. No, he's not dead. He's grand. He's okay. And then you see him, and you're like, okay, well, he's definitely okay now, so that's fine. Yeah. But there was one, you know, Chewbacca, I thought, that emotional scene for us when we think he's dead, then the emotional scene for him and us when he learns that. But then that scene at the end where Chewie finally got his medal.
Yeah,
he finally got his medal, and you're like, oh, he got it! He's so good. I thought it was great. Yeah. And then that little tease then at the end as well. You've got Lando, talking to kind of Finn's friend. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But then you're like, is that Horda? Are they related here? So what's going on there? Or did just put that in because the two of them are black? I'm like, I'm kind of hoping that you haven't just done it because they're two black people.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that, you know, okay, that's actually his. She was kidnapped, because they say at the start when they used to be stormtroopers and they were kidnapped with children. I was like, that could be Lando's girl. That could be his daughter. And I was like, oh, you're teasing that, and then you're not going to give us any more information. Oh, okay. You just go on to the next scene there. Yeah, no, that's grand. That was pointless. Thanks very much for that.
Yeah.
Look, but, you know, there's just certain little things, you know, but overall, Rise of Skywalker, for me, loved it. Can't wait to go and see it again and again and again. I can't wait for it to come out on DVD so I can watch it again and again and again. But for me, just start to finish, absolutely brilliant. Obviously, we all have our little critiques about it, but I left and you left with a smile on their face. And what more can you ask?
Look, Jerry, I didn't know how I felt about it, and I didn't know if it lived up to expectations. But you know what did live up to this expectation? The conversation we just had. This is exactly the chat I wanted to have. And we could go for another hour or another 2 hours talking about it. But how about we agree on this? Let's meet up in 3 years and do this again, and we'll rank it when we know how we feel about it. Because we're going to have to watch it, as you said, again and akin and akin and akin. So let's do it then, guys. Jerry, absolute pleasure as always. Thank you for taking time over your Christmas to make time to have this conversation. I really want to have it. I'm glad we could record it as well for everyone else to listen. Have a happy Christmas. Can't wait to hear more Talk Nerdy to me in the new year. Congrats on your Staff of the Year nomination. It was well earned. It was always in the bag, but I didn't want to tell you beforehand. You've been an absolute asset to Low Blows, and I was glad we could finally kind of acknowledge that in a public way. So Jerry, have a happy Christmas. Thank you for joining me, and guys, well, what did you think? Tweet us in and we'll continue the conversation online at #Lobos on Twitter. Well, until then, catch you on the other side. May the force be with you. And this has been another episode of Nash.